CD 5.
I was given my victuals in the monk's refectory, watched by curious and none too friendly eyes, for they've no use for non-Christians, and, as a Hindi, I was right beyond the pale. Ulaba dined in some state in the Abba's private apartments, and if the news she got was confused and disturbing, it was definite, at least on the main point.
Mastiat has her camp on the Abai River, below the falls which the people of Mecha call the Great Silver Smoke.
She was jubilant.
5 days' journey by horse or camel, even by the western shore of Tana, see?
The Abba had given her a map, a pretty coloured thing, with Lake Tana all little blue waves, with boats afloat, and an ark at anchor, with hippos and pythons and monkeys clamouring aboard under the eye of a distinctly Ethiopian Noah, the whole lot being blessed by a dusky Jesus.
Here, Arthur says, we are 40 miles from Gogora, at the head of the lake, another 50 at most to Zaga, and perhaps 50 down to Abai.
Why not the straight way by the east shore? I could see it would cut the journey by as much as a third.
Because Theodore has his camp at Korata last year.
She tapped a finger on it.
And he will have troops there still. And who knows how many between the lake and his army which marches on Magdala. He has wasted all Begenda, and these churchmen say he is already at the Jeddah Ravine. But their news will be a week old. He may be close on Magdala by now.
And Mastiat's army, by your reckoning, is about 90 miles from Magdala. Where's Napier? Do they know?
They heard of him last at Antalu, but that too will be old news. At best, he can hardly be more than a day's march south of the Ashangi Lake.
She traced her finger up from Magdala. Napier had a good 100 miles to go by the look of it. Well, Theodore can win the race on a tight rein, says I, if he gets his guns into Magdala. I didn't care to think of that. The place was said to be impregnable, which was doubtless an exaggeration. British troops can take anywhere, given a commander who knows his business. But the bug hunter didn't have time for a siege, not with his striking force at full stretch, with food and forage running low. If he came to a dead stop before Theodore's defences, well, it would be a dead stop indeed, far from home and no way back. His army would starve where it stood, and Theodore's Highlanders would cut up the remains at leisure. No doubt, with the rebel warlords joining in. My consolation was that I'd be better placed as a free agent with Ulaba rather than as a helpless lump of cannon fodder in Napier's last stand. I had a sudden, horrid recollection of Gandamak, with the 44th trapped on the icy slope, Sutar with the colours round his middle, and the Ghazis closing in. I asked about the rebels, and she spat,
"Cattle! Cowards! They ran in circles, frightened of Theodore, fearful of each other. That much is plain from this old fool of an abba's tale, but he knows little more to any purpose. That drunken fat sow Mastiat," sneers she with satisfaction, "had the game won. Had she used the wit she wastes in guzzling and coupling. 2 months ago she stood before Magdala with her army, while its garrison of weaklings and traitors wrung their hands, willing to surrender, but in dread of Theodore's vengeance when he returned from plundering in Begenda. Oh, had I stood in her place, they'd have surrendered fast enough."
She clenched her fists and shook them, and I believed her.
"But she puts off, and idles away her opportunity, and is forced to retreat at last because the hyena Gobazi and the jackal Menelek come prowling into Gala country, afraid to attack Magdala, but still outnumbering her, so she withdraws to the Abai. It is very well," says she, pleased as punch. "Things could not stand better."
Blessed if I could see that, and I said so. If she has cut and run, what's the use in our going on? She and her army will be no help to Napier if they're 90 miles away. She waved that aside.
"Gala armies can move at speed. Besides, she'll have left more warriors in the hills about Magdala, ready for action, than she'll have taken to the Abai. Let the Queen of Wolo-Gala but say the word, and there will be a steel ring. Was not that what your general called it? Round the amber of Magdala, with Theodore held fast within."
The Queen of Wolo-Gala. But which queen? We had been discussing her ambitions and what part I might be called on to play in realizing them when the Sudanis had interrupted us and the topic had not been resumed. Well, it could be let lie for the moment. That she'd make a bid for her sister's